are live broadcasting live with
live from Kettle of Fish.
Phil Hanrahan, writer of Life After Far. Go ahead, take it away, Aaron.
We are coming to you live from the village, what can only be described as the preeminent destination for any Packers fan in New York City, Kettle of Fish, anywhere in the world, actually. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky. And, of course, Cheesehead Nation would not exist without Brian Caravu working fervently behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
On the blog, etc. So big thanks to Brian. We cannot see the live blog tonight, ladies and gentlemen, so don't ask us any questions. We're not ignoring you. We have two computers. We usually have four, so give us a break. Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
We're here tonight with Phil Hanrahan, author of the new book, Life Without Favre. We'll
Life
be talking
After Favre.
Hello.
After.
No, Life Without Favre.
After Favre.
No, I like Life Without Favre.
All right.
New title.
We've
changed the title of the book. We're going to have to reprint the entire thing.
Okay, we're going to start over, but this is live. All right, we'll be talking about the book as well as everything green and gold, including the victory over the Rams, 2-1.
Yes.
And the upcoming game against Brett Favre and the Vikings.
That's
so just, let's get started.
That just doesn't sound right. Phil, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Phil, thank
you.
So
welcome.
I gotta say,
this is freaking surreal.
Yeah, let's look at the bar cam.
I have to agree.
Corey, please.
A little bar
show
cam.
Them the bar. We've got readers in the
Thaddeus
house.
There's Thaddeus right there.
We've got readers in the house.
That's
Can you believe that?
There you go.
That's just unbelievable.
Here we go.
So, Phil.
Yes.
Let's dive right
yes,
in.
Aaron.
You're the man. You're the myth. You're the legend.
Well, I appreciate the kind sentiment.
Well, it's true. It's true. I can't believe you're here and we're here. And
let's talk about this bar right behind Phil.
I'm just gonna say, look at this sign.
Okay, Jack Kerouac.
Jack Kerouac stood in front of this bar sign
on the road,
and now Phil is in front of the bar. I think there's a correlation.
Someone
there
take
somewhere.
A photo.
There's something going on there. Something mystical. Something magical. Anyway, we'll dive right in here.
Can I add that Cheesehead TV is in the book? Can I?
We're trying not to trumpet ourselves. We're not about that.
We haven't actually said anything about that.
No.
So that's
no.
A,
well,
that's
you
a
know,
scoop.
I said it.
No,
said
we
it
did.
Blog.
That was sarcastic.
No, I know exactly. So Phil, focusing on you, drawing it away from Cheesehead TV for a moment, and getting back on you. What got you now? Just even before the whole book and everything.
Okay.
What got you writing? What got you? You mean a kid growing up in Wisconsin? What got you writing? What
grew up in Milwaukee?
How did the bug bite you?
I was always a big reader. I think if your life is reading books, at some point you might want to at least entertain the idea of writing your own. I went from reading a lot to reviewing books, so that was probably the first serious writing I did. I reviewed maybe 40 to 50 books for the Milwaukee Journal over a decade before I moved out here, actually, to New York City. And I did a couple of ghostwritten books. This is my first book with my name on it. And there were about a decade there where I was doing copywriting and book jacket writing, doing a little bit of book reviewing, but no book writing. And then this would be the first one.
And how did you make the jump? I mean, you go from reviewing and copywriting and all that fun jazz. But, how did you go make the jump to what was the impetus? What did you say? This is it. This is my thing.
It's a two-part impetus, I would say. The mechanics of it were that... my old friend from college, Mike Strong, if I may name him.
Who's that? I don't
suddenly
know who
walked
that is.
Right behind us here. Suddenly walked into a job as a literary agent, called me up. I was in Los Angeles. Aaron's giving me a look right now. This is how it happened, man.
There's no look, man.
This is how it happened.
What are you talking about, look?
I'm out in L.A.
You are out in L.A., though. That is unfortunate.
Exactly.
You're on the West Coast.
I'm dabbling.
I'm
writing
some
crappy screenplays. And Mike calls me up out of the blue and says, hey, I'm now a literary agent, and do you have any book ideas? And I said, well, not at the moment, but let me get back to you tomorrow.
Let me think about it.
And Favre just retired 2 weeks earlier, and the next day I got up and I gave myself a little challenge to try to come up with 10 book ideas. Uh-huh. One of them was a book about the new era, the post-Favre reality.
Right.
This was before I had any inkling he's going to come back and play.
Sure,
so
right.
To me, it was the original vision was a kind of a niche book just for pretty much hardcore Packer fans, a small book I'm going to cover, mainly Aaron Rodgers, see how he does. I wasn't going to get too much into the summer of Favre and all the factionalism and the Thompson bashing.
Right.
But then you started to hear the rumors that he may be changing his mind.
And it was all rumor.
That's
as
correct.
Al Jones told us.
That's
in
correct.
The Biloxi, Mississippi, whatever it was.
So I I hate that word pitched, but I worked up various ideas.
We're
one
very
of them
industry,
was
in case you
my know. Original title was After Brett, which sounds a little more Wisconsin-y to me because that's
true.
Pretty much what we call him inside the Badger State. And Mike picked the Packer book as a possible first book that might be able to sell. And we actually had a powwow with his boss at the agency. He also picked out that book and said, that's the one you want to try to go with. So I said, fine, let's do it. I moved back to Wisconsin in early July of 2008. And within a couple days, the rumors are getting very strong that Favre may be coming back. Suddenly, the book starts to grow a little larger in my imagination. And then it just kind of kept on growing and growing.
Yeah.
And that's why we're at 340 pages as opposed to maybe 190 or 200, which was my original conception.
Well, that's great. I mean, obviously, events overtook you, as they tend to do when Favre's involved. And that's great that you say about Brett's first name. And it's funny because when you meet people other places, they say, you know, I remember at one point I said to somebody in a bar somewhere here in New York, he's like, Billy's got to catch the ball. And they Billy. I was like, well, Schrader, of course.
You know, exactly.
Like, but everyone's like, so you call, you, do you know him?
Speaking of Billy Schrader, Billy Schrader's nephew
he's fast.
Is here.
No.
Yes.
Well, you know what I heard yesterday?
He's not here yet, but he will be here.
He will be
Listen,
here.
Going to be here.
What I heard yesterday, I was sitting at the bar, at this very bar yesterday. Amanda Flynn, the sister of our backup quarterback, Matt Flynn, is an actress and a singer. And she was singing in the song space, the duplex bar, above my head yesterday.
Well,
and she had just walked out of this very bar. She had just been visiting Kettle of Fish. She's become a Kettle of Fish regular ever since her brother got drafted by the Packers.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Absolutely.
But back to the title, it was I was so attached to After Brett, I actually wanted to put it in the contract that we couldn't change it. God bless my editor, Mark. He convinced me that Life After Favre would have more of a national...
A broader appeal.
A broader appeal.
A wise
and
man.
I
a
kept
man.
Saying, again, to the Wisconsin ear, it sounds a little clinical,
right.
But he said, given all the Favre developments, let's shoot for a national book. And then even little mechanical things like Googling the book, you pump in Favre, it's going to come up faster.
Right,
so
right.
We eventually settled on Life After Favre, and I actually didn't think I was going to become comfortable with it. I'm absolutely comfortable with
it. It's great.
Now,
it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Well, and Corey will learn the name of the book eventually.
Well, I would learn the name if somebody wrote the right name there.
Oh hello. No. I can verify it does
Yikes.
Say.
It does say Life After Favre right there.
Yikes.
On my piece of paper.
Yikes.
So what was the reception like from the team?
But
from the team, I mean, I got to think, like, the last thing they want is Brett Favre in a book.
Precisely.
You know,
precisely.
Connected to the Packers yet again.
That's right.
In the summer of turmoil.
I got a good bit of advice. I'm not sure I needed it, but it reconfirmed my sense, which is I knew I was not going to walk in and start talking to Packers PR and pitch it as say, half the book on the Favre stuff and half on the season. Already 50% sounds way too much to
right,
me.
Right, right.
So I met with a Packers board of director emeritus, who actually was an old family friend of my father. He had just gone to one of the Packers board meetings. This was in August. It was a few days after Favre had been traded to the Jets. And I more or less asked him how to approach the Packers. And he you know, looked me in the eye and he said, just really and let them know that it's about... The season. Favre is now gone. You are covering the new era. You're going to cover the 16 games. This is about post-Favre.
Right.
And it was a good bit of advice. I stuck to it pretty much. But again, when you're writing it, you realize I ended up needing to maybe put 30 or 40, 50 pages on.
No. About Brett Favre? Possibly. Maybe.
So... Well, I haven't heard any complaints from management, and I didn't push it.
Well, you know, Jeff Blum, head of PR for the Packers, is a huge Cheesehead TV fan.
He is, he is.
Oh,
well,
and he loves me.
Oh, perfect.
Very, very much.
That must have helped.
No, he doesn't.
Jeff Blum's not a fan at all
no.
at this point. But
no.
Jeff, we'll get you back. I promise.
And
we'll get you back.
Honestly, I did not. It took a little bit of. It took a little while. I took maybe a month of some phone calling, a few little meetings. I did actually have to meet with Jeff at one point.
Sure.
Because I have, you know, I have no credentials. I'm not a sports writer.
Right.
I told him what the book was going to be about, but they're not sure. I'd never been in a pro locker room. Mm-hmm. And this is a true story. My first day in the locker room, I was actually a little nervous. I didn't quite know what to do.
Understandable.
Both from the players, and I'm wondering if I'm going to get a little hazed by even the journalists, who is the new guy.
Right.
So what I ended up doing that day was palling around a little bit more with the pack of writers, not the players. Fellow writers, Tom Pelissero from the Green Bay Press Gazette, who you
friend
know.
Friend of the show.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Every
very
time he comes
nice
on,
guy.
Things break.
He was the first guy I approached, because he's an approachable person.
Yeah, yeah.
And an interesting guy. So we ended up talking maybe 20 minutes, and right at the end of the media availability, I think I went up to Colin Cole, who's also a very nice guy, and I talked to him for a couple minutes. Well, a week went by, and I didn't get another invitation to visit the locker room.
Oh, no.
So I actually set up a little meeting with Jeff. I hope he's okay with me telling this story. And
he'll
Jeff
Twitter
said,
if he's not.
He'll Twitter that he's very upset with Cheez Edge at some point.
He said, well, Phil, we're not sure that you made the best use out of your locker room availability. I said, what? He wasn't there, but he obviously had spies.
Right.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm told that you spent a lot of your time talking to the reporters, not the players. So I learned quickly. And the next time they let me back in.
They
and
let
then
you back in.
After that, it was once or twice a week for about 2 months I was in there with the reporters.
That's cool.
That is very, very cool. Speaking of the players and getting to interview with some of them, and obviously the big fish, if you will, yep. Aaron Rodgers, what was he like as far as opening up and when you approached him? Yep. I mean, obviously last year this guy was not only the most scrutinized player in the
exactly.
NFL, but you got to think over the modern game, over the
that's
history
right.
of the modern game.
That's right.
This is one of the most scrutinized players in the history of the modern game in
that,
the league.
In know? That same meeting with Jeff Blum, again, the head of Packers PR, I proposed – at that point, I actually proposed visiting Chico, California, because I do go to some of the other hometowns of the players. And he said to me at that point, Aaron doesn't love that idea. Some other bigger people than you have proposed visiting Chico. He'd rather you don't track down everyone he knew in Chico.
Bigger than you, Phil?
No.
Hard to believe.
I don't believe it. I won't believe it.
I think he may have actually mentioned Larry McCarron and the idea of Larry visiting Chico. Actually, it works for me.
I love it. I love it.
But,
it's a roadshow.
He did say, this is a quote, he said, we will try to get you an interview with Aaron. Everyone wants a piece of him, which is
obviously
the point you just made.
Yeah.
It did take until more or less the last week of the season before I had my good interview. So what I would do is once a week or so, I'd come up to him and just remind him that at some point we might be having that interview. And it was a very incremental process.
That's great.
I had known going in that he's fairly private. I wasn't going to ask him some personal stuff. And I didn't, but I found him absolutely open to every question I had. We got through every question on the list. He's a very funny guy, very bright, very articulate, and he shifts back and forth between joviality and mirth and sarcasm and humor into seriousness and even almost a philosophical reflective state given the question, which was interesting, that modulation. When you ask him something that gets close to hitting a nerve, the question I asked him was, did you hear the ProFar fans booing you during training camp?
Right.
When you ask him a question like that, the fewer words he answers with is a gauge of the emotional impact of the question. And you actually sensed a little bit of anger when I asked him that. And he gave me a one-word answer. Did you hear the fans booing? And he said, yes. Very sort of
well,
flat.
And you saw a lot of that. You saw a lot of that in his press conference.
Exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, hey. How can you blame
him? No, you know what? I appreciate, you know, I figured maybe this was December when I'm talking to him.
Sure.
I thought maybe, oh, I can hardly remember that time. You know, but to his credit, he was being straight with me.
Well, he's been a stand-up guy through the whole process.
Yeah.
So you can't, I mean, the guy, hats off to him, definitely. I got to ask, tell us about the phrase, we're at the game.
Okay.
Because reading the book, and I was so, Michael delivered me a copy, which I have here, which you will sign later.
I will have no choice
in the matter.
Hey, wait, show the book again.
There's it. There, am I on camera? Hello?
Yeah, we have a little animation.
Check it.
Life
check
after
it.
Favre.
There's the book. Hey, check it. We're at the game.
Yeah.
I love that phrase, and I love the way it came about, and you entitled the chapter.
I love that question because that was the key to actually gelling this book. We had a disappointing season. It was after the Carolina game, which I attended. We lost, obviously, in excruciating fashion.
Phil, hold on,
yes.
Sorry. We're going to get
you
to
break?
Sign. No, 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 we're not.
Okay.
We're, Michael wants you to sign this book for this lady. She's about to leave.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And she's waiting for you.
Someone's
so.
Going to leave? We're not amazing. Someone's going to leave.
Wait, I've got a pen.
This is riveting stuff here. What are you doing? We're going to leave?
Please give me a name.
I'm totally kidding. Here, I'm
this
absolutely
is live
kidding.
TV.
Live internet,
you know,
TV.
Sorry.
No one watches. But other than that.
I guess I should have.
We're Wisconsin nights, aren't we?
We are really way too Wisconsin.
A minute of Wisconsin nights in action.
And you know what? There's, you know, people watching at home, they're just like sitting in front of their computers talking on the live blog going,
exactly.
They probably are like,
please,
we can't hear.
I can't wait to read the book. This is going to be great.
Okay.
Use my Green Bay Packers.
All right.
Look at that.
We got the Green Bay Packers pen.
A Green Bay Packers pen has been produced.
Nice.
Look at this. And look at, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Amy.
Amy, live here on Cheesehead TV, broadcast around the world.
Most exciting television ever going to see.
Around the world. Right now, you're being seen in the Philippines and in Australia.
That's true.
What about Appleton, Wisconsin?
Yes.
My hometown.
Yes.
So there you go.
But that's not as exciting.
That's nowhere near as exciting.
He's from Appleton.
I'm from Appleton. So, you know. There you go. What are you going to do?
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Amy. Take care.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, autographs, we do it all here.
Sorry.
So we're at the game. It's Carolina. They lose in excruciating fashion. I spent almost a page describing that miracle Steve Smith catch.
Oh,
I can remember the stadium filled with people. I say it was like a version of Edvard Munch's The Scream. Yep. Everyone just holding their head with their mouth wide open, including the guy next to me. So I came home that night. It started to snow. I'm looking out the window, which was more or less Vince Lombardi's view his first 4 years, because I was in a room right above the old Packer offices. You're looking out to the Mason Street Bridge, starting to snow heavily, and I'm fairly depressed because it's really sinking in. I am writing a book about a disappointing season.
Well, that was the season.
That was,
I wrote
that
before
was the
that
season.
Game that was the
that
season.
Was the killer.
Win that game and they
so
had a chance.
I was struggling. I tend to be a sunshiny person. I wanna write a happy, lucky book. Wasn't gonna happen. How am I gonna make this thing work? And suddenly I remembered a guy from the game who was sitting two rows in front of me in a little green hat, and he got pretty drunk. But he was very comical. He was cracking up his friends. And he said this thing that stuck with me. It ended up saving me. It gave me the right attitude. And actually, it was the keystone for the book. He turned to his friends and toasted them. And he said, hey, whatever happens, we're at the game. He said that before. 10 minutes later, he said it again. They all toasted again. He probably said it four or five more times. It was his mantra. Something bad would happen in the game. He turned to his friends and go, hey, we're at the game. And,
that's all you can
just,
do.
Exactly.
We're
that's
at
all
the
you
game.
Can do. In other words, there's something even bigger than this loss. It's we're in Lambeau. I'm with my buddies. We're having beers. We don't have control over this. There's so many bad things out there in the world, things you can worry about, but we're at the game. And it just, I liked the attitude, and I wanted to have that attitude in the book. And it takes a little effort sometimes. It took a little effort the following week when they lost again to Houston in excruciating fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
But that guy's attitude was helpful, and that actually was the approach I took throughout the entire book. And that's why I used it for the title for my introduction.
Well, like I said, it's by far my favorite sentiment.
And actually, could I take advantage of your programming?
Of course.
Sure.
I would love
people
to
take advantage of us all the time.
I would love to track this guy down. I didn't get a name for him. He's unnamed in the book.
All right.
If you're out there.
If you're out there, Mr.
If you're the
person,
Mr. We're at the game.
We're at the game.
Or
shouted several times.
You're his friend.
Your
he had four friends. It was Carolina game. You were in row 45 or so. I think you mentioned something about Two Rivers, possibly being from Two Rivers, mid-30s,
nice.
Blondish hair, frog green hat with a little tassel. I want to talk to you.
That's fantastic.
Get that out there.
What kind of response have you had, if any, from the Favre camp on this book? Have you heard anything?
Not yet. I was down in Kill, and the closest I got to the Favre camp was being in the Broke Spoke bar. I missed the owners because they were actually up at the Tennessee game with Favre's brother that day. But I did meet the third cousin of Deanna Favre, who is the bartender, Derek Peterson. He was wearing Favre's high school Crimson Hancock North Central High jersey. And
Wow. This
is a story told in the book. After the game, we watched the Titans-Jets game the day before the Packers-Saints,
right.
filled with cheeseheads that were there to pay homage to what is still a great Packer bar. After they all went back to New Orleans, Derek, the third cousin of Deanna, came out and said, hey, Phil, you ever done moonshine? And I said, nice. No, and I had not.
Oh,
so he took me in the back room, okay, in the milk jug, Dixie cups, and this is a quote. I had my little notebook, although I was a little drunk by that point, but I did manage to pull it out for a conversation. He said, Phil, this is a real deal. This stuff will knock your dick in the dirt. And then we knocked back the moonshot.
Perfect.
So, but he's a great guy. And then I hung out back there with all the Broke Spoke staff. And they had some choice words for McCarthy and Thompson, as you can imagine.
I can imagine.
But actually,
no doubt.
For the first time in a long time, when the Packers played the Saints, they were not torn. So that was probably the only positive for them. But
right. But nothing at all from
no. And
anyway,
I didn't. I briefly thought about trying to approach the Favre camp, but I ended up not doing it by design because I thought, as you know, having read it.
Right.
I wanted to pretty much tell the whole story
right.
of the Packers along with the season. You put a nuclear comment by Favre or the Favre camp into the book, that becomes the soundbite.
Yeah.
That becomes the controversial thing.
Yeah, it gets
thing.
Repeated everywhere.
And you're either going to get him just say some really bland things that he said a million times and aren't worth putting in a book. If you go for some little potent comment from Favre or the Favre camp, suddenly that's the only thing anyone's going to talk about. And
right.
I thought it would just become a black hole and overwhelm the rest of the book.
Well, it's a fantastic book. I know you're back in Green Bay now. You've come back. Is there a sequel in the mix? Is there an afterword to be added?
They're doing book promotion. It's a nice base, obviously, to give the book a push. But let's just say they end up having some kind of miracle season.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm well-placed.
You should be there, right?
Yeah, I'm
Definitely.
There. So that would be the best outcome from spending the next 3 months there.
Well, hey, I'm jealous as hell. It's a what a job, what a life. Phil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Ladies
so
and gentlemen, the book
me.
Is Life After Favre. It's a fantastic read. I can't recommend it enough. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Aaron.
Packer
it's been
Transplant.
A blast. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah, please. When we do Life After Rogers, whatever that is.
Exactly.
I hope that's not for a long time.
Not for,
no.
Well, he signed right. for 2014, so
yes,
who knows?
Good for me.
Thanks so much
All
for
right,
joining us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Everyone at home, we'll be back after a short break.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Kettle of Fish in the Village. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy. People are drunk. People are nuts.
Wait, we got to go to the bar cam.
Go to the bar cam. Look at this. Check this
yeah.
out. Look at this.
Wait.
Look,
we have...
That's a regular Wait. Reader of Cheesehead TV live in the house.
Yeah.
You can't tell me. Look at that. Those people read Cheesehead TV. It's crazy.
That's Keith and Thaddeus. And KCNYC is in the house.
KCNYC is here.
Dude.
I can't believe it. Dude,
what?
People read us?
This is awesome.
It's crazy. So, wait. Packer Pete, let's get you in here.
Yeah,
you come
Packer
sit down.
Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens.
Okay, this is what happens when you show up
when
at a Packer bar.
Hang out at a Packer bar
in New York
City.
City.
All right? This gentleman right here, if we
Packer
can put him
Pete.
On camera.
There you go.
Packer Pete. Can you lean a little to your left just
you
so
on?
We get some good, yep, yeah, we're there.
Okay,
we're there.
I just want to make sure.
Make sure he's on. There he is. Look at him.
And
ladies
sure
and gentlemen, I want to make sure that everyone knows this gentleman right here came up with We'll Never Forget You, Brent, the t-shirt.
And he's never received a dime for it.
No, he hasn't. But anyway, he came
t-shirts?
Up with He has a couple t-shirts. This man made the original shirts and gave the idea to Scani. I'm honored.
Yeah.
I'm appalled with myself that I forgot to wear my shirt tonight, which I meant to do.
That's really wrong that you didn't wear it.
But when you wake up and you have three kids and you're trying to get them to school and everyone's crazy, sometimes you forget these things. So I got to know. How did you come up with the idea? What was the... I mean, obviously,
well,
Brett, the whole impetus, but what was the kernel? What made
you
do it?
What happened was years ago, Milwaukee Brewers had Gorman Thomas, who was a big fan,
absolutely.
Big fan favorite. Everybody loved him. Well, at the end of his career, they traded him to Cleveland.
Right.
And his first time back in a Cleveland Indian uniform, he's in the outfield, and they had this... There was like one long guy out in the outfield who had a sign held up that said, "We'll never forget you, Gordon." And I just thought, oh, that is funny. And I thought about that for years. I thought how funny that was. And I always got a chuckle out of it. "We'll never forget you, Gordon." And then, you know, Brett left. And,
right,
you know,
right.
I thought, oh, I'll, you know, right, we'll right, never right. forget you, Brent. And so I came up with the idea.
And I went to Scani. I had him, you know, I told him my idea, and he kind of chuckled. And I was like, right, yeah, it's a funny shirt. You should sell these. And at first he was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no. So I ordered 20 of them and gave them away to my friends. And they went like hotcakes. And then I was like, I had to get another 20 because everyone wanted them. And then by that time, you know, it had gotten picked up by this guy, the State Journal, and Fox News, and it was like, went
people
crazy
out of the woodwork,
and everybody's got them now.
They certainly did. I mean, what made you go with Brent rather than Brett? Because, I mean, obviously, when he first retired, it was very tearful. It was very, oh my gosh. But the Brent thing is like just the greatest, like, twist of the dagger.
Well, like, you know? I say, Gorman and Gordon is like, is
just switching it around.
It's funny.
There you go.
That's perfect.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
I can't tell you how upset I am. I didn't wear the shirt. Like I said, it's just a fantastic, it's gone completely viral.
Yes.
I was telling you before during the break that when I saw it, I bought it, I had to have it. I promoted it on the site. And we got tons of emails. Where can I get it? Blah, 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 blah. Scani emailed us, said thanks so much for the help in promoting it. And then, but this is all before, you know, Brent said he was going to stay retired. He wasn't going to come out, blah, 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 blah. And then everyone stopped. It totally stopped. It ground to a halt. And then he came back and signed, and the whole thing started up again. And we were flooded with emails. Where can I get that shirt? I have to have that shirt. And I got to have you here. Tonight we're broadcasting our first remote. it's an honor to have
it's
you here.
It's a good place to have a remote.
It's a perfect place to have a remote.
Thanks to Patrick. Thank you, Patrick for letting us have this
and
here.
Thank you to the Duplex, which is right next door,
for giving us our internet
tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Wow, they're nice.
You gotta tell Patrick. He's gotta get up with the times. I get the old retro vibe, but get some internet. That's there all I gotta say.
A little Wi-Fi.
So
we just had to get buns for the brats.
that was
a big upgrade.
I know you got to run. Thank you so much for thank you so much for coming on the show. The shirt is an inspiration, and I think at Lambeau on November 1st you're gonna see
a whole lot of
your handiwork.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Look, ladies and
Packer
gentlemen,
Pete.
We're just hanging out. Packer Pete in the house, coming up with the We'll Never Forget You Brent shirt.
You know,
when we're
in my studio in Inwood, we don't get Packer Pete.
No, Packer Pete doesn't wander by your living room.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen that way.
Unfortunately.
So those of you watching around the world, that was Packer Pete who came up with that shirt. That's amazing to me. I'm sorry. All right, so let's get back in the flow of the show. There was a game on Sunday.
Wait, this flow has a show?
This flow does have a show.
I only had one beer, too. All right, so let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good.
We got Donald Driver.
Double D!
We got Aaron Rodgers.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Ryan, somebody said he couldn't play in the 3-4, Pickett.
I mean, everyone wants to hate on Ryan Pickett, and he had a very good game. Not a great game. He's still not like this amazing nose tackle that you need in the 3-4, but he had a good game.
We got the bad. We got Darren College.
I got no words.
Alan Barber.
I still have no words. Although I will say, upon further review, Alan Barber did not have as bad a game as I thought.
And we got the samurai himself, Nick Barnett.
Thaddeus Nye. Well, we'll have some words about the samurai later. Apparently, he took umbrage with my post about Packer fans needing to shut the hell up.
You know what I like when you tell Packer fans to shut the hell up?
They don't?
They don't. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's
and
true.
We got the ugly. We got Brandon Chiller.
Brandon, all right. Nice. I'm down with the big Okie. I'm down with the five linebackers. But when you get burned for two touchdowns on the same play, that's a problem. I understand getting burned once. But again, just flip the side of the field, get burned again? That's ugly. That's ugly.
You know, last week you were saying how you like Brandon Chiller.
I do like Brandon Chiller. Hey, no one's exempt from the ugly category.
That's true. Donald Driver's made the ugly.
Donald Driver could.
And
he should
be exempt from the ugly.
He really should.
If anyone should be
exempt. If any Packer should be exempt.
That one-handed catch to his helmet was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. That was beyond ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
That was fantastic.
So let's talk about the Rams game. So we played the second crappiest team in the NFL.
The second crappiest? I don't know.
I still put the Lions in that category.
The Lions won. The Lions won. You're good.
Wow, you won one out of 20 games. Congratulations.
Hey, the Rams haven't won in forever. So, all right. Second crappiest. I'll concede that point. But it's an uneven performance. No one will dispute that. You know, improvement was made in some areas. I think regression happened in other areas. You know, I understand. Like I said in the gut reactions, I understand why. You know, people weren't excited. I wasn't. It was a hard game to get up for because, A, if you lose, then it's calamity and all is. But if you win, you were supposed to win.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So nobody cares.
So, well, I don't know if nobody cares, but I understand.
I mean, there were like hundreds of people on the live blog. Somebody cares.
some geeks care somewhere. You know, looking at the game, Mike McCarthy and his stubborn insistence with the running game. Now, some people will argue that, you know, it's a good thing, sticking with the running game. I understand that argument, and I guess I can say with, you know, I can say that I understand sticking with the run, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sticking with the run every single first down for, like, a million years, that I don't get.
You know what I don't get?
When you become predictable.
I don't get three fullbacks.
See, no, we don't have a personnel. I mean.
Yeah, I know, but don't you think three fullbacks is kind of like keeping two punters?
Well, it borders.
Seriously.
It's bordering. I got to tell you, it is bordering.
Has anybody figured out if any other team in the NFL keeps three fullbacks?
No other team. No other team this year is keeping three fullbacks. I will say that. Yes, three fullbacks is bordering on two punters. However, I will say one of our fullbacks had the game of his life. Not blocking, mind you, which is usually the fullback's job.
No.
But John Kuhn, game of his life. I mean, the guy caught a touchdown pass and ran for a touchdown. Two touchdowns for a fullback. And as I wrote on the blog, it's a good thing he can catch and he can run, because, wow, can he not block. And what's interesting, too, is that Corey Hall was active and played special teams, but didn't play from scrimmage because they were saving him. But no Quinn Johnson yet again. The one rookie
I'm ready for some Quinn Johnson.
The one rookie I was most excited about. Nothing.
I'm ready for some blocking from Quinn Johnson.
I'm ready for some blocking from the offensive line.
I'm ready for some blocking from anyone.
From anybody. Hey, Aaron Rodgers can go down and throw a block for all I care. The offensive line, again, very uneven. I mean, we've talked about the tackles. But, you know, the inside of the line is not exempt. You know, you had Scott Wells. I don't know. I guess maybe being thrown in the middle of it last week helped him. I guess I don't know. He was disappointing in the fact that he looked very good in preseason, and a lot of these guys did, but Scott Wells in particular, he's a seasoned vet. He started games before, and he just seemed overwhelmed in the middle of the line. And the Rams' defensive tackles aren't world beaters. These aren't Pro Bowl players. So to have him come off a week of practice, especially the week before you're about to face the Vikings and the Williams Wall, it's disconcerting, to say the least. Sitton had a decent game. Spitz was uneven. And again, the tackles, College and Barber were a mess.
Well,
College especially.
Okay, Darren College is not a tackle. I'm sorry.
No, it's true. It's true. And I guess myself, and I guess probably Ted Thompson and McCarthy got fooled by the Tennessee game last year. Because you go back and you watch it, which I did after we knew that College was going to be in there for Clifton. You know, you think this kid can do it because you watch that Tennessee tape from last year, and he does a good job. He has one or two brain farts like he does every single week at guard. But for the most part, he holds his own against a very good front four of the Tennessee Titans. Very good last year.
I mean, to his credit, he didn't have any practice during mini camps or
training camp. Exactly. And again, you got to question that decision. Here's a guy who's played guard for years and years, had a couple of snaps last year, or a game worth of snaps at left tackle, which arguably the most important position on the offensive line, and you don't practice your backup there. And that's the thing. That was their plan. This is their plan. What happens if Clifton goes down? Our plan is to play Darren College. Well, if that's your plan, shouldn't you practice the guy there at least like two or three snaps during training camp and during mini camps? I don't know. So that's on McCarthy, and that's on camp.
Well, I think the offensive line is on Ted Thompson, I have to say it.
Well, yeah.
Here we go, another year with no offensive line. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it.
Well, and Bob McGinn pointed out just this morning, or the other morning, or maybe it was yesterday or today, this line is not bereft of talent. At some point, you got to start thinking maybe it's the coaching. I mean, because these guys are a higher round pick. They're second and third round picks, fourth round picks.
Yeah, but getting a new coach is not going to help things now.
You might. You don't know that. I mean, camping, I mean, who Yikes. Knows what their practice schedule is like? Who knows what their routine is like?
Yikes.
Who knows what fundamentals are being taught? I mean, camping was a serviceable center in his NFL career. That does not make him a good coach, just like it doesn't make any NFL player good. It doesn't make Edgar Bennett a good coach. It doesn't make Kevin Green a good coach. They may turn out to be, but we don't know that. We can't say that for certain. So the offensive line. But turning away from such negative thoughts, Donald Driver.
Donald Driver.
We talked about him in the opening. Donald freaking Double D. How can you not love Donald Driver?
I don't know anybody who doesn't love Donald Driver.
And the thing is, this guy is 34 years old. And he's making plays like that? And he's running by guys?
He's ridiculous.
To me, that's the most impressive. The fact that he's got rookies, he's got second-year players, he's got 20-something-year-old guys on him, and he's making them look foolish.
He's got Greg Jennings catching one pass the whole game.
And the thing is Rodgers on that rollout, there's a designed rollout on Driver's touchdown catch where, you know, the whole offense goes this way, to the right. Rodgers rolls out to the left, and Driver puts on, like, 30 moves on this guy. All right, it was three. But 30 moves on this corner who just doesn't know what's going on. And this guy is like approaching like the age where Jerry Rice lost it.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess Antonio Freeman was still good at that age.
No, he wasn't.
Not as good as Donald Driver.
Not as good as Donald Driver.
But he was still crafty and good.
That's true. He was crafty, I'll say that. I
don't know why I'm talking good about him. He didn't really want to sign my autograph, so I don't even know why. But
I won't stretch it
to good.
I'm
sorry, I had a brain fart there.
No, that's all right. We're allowed. But switching back to the defensive side, Big Oki in the house. Tundra Vision's got to get a shout out here. CD Angeli
yes.
has got to get a shout out for the fact that he called Brandon Chiller at safety.
Sometimes Packer bloggers get it right.
It's very rare.
It's very rare.
But it happens.
Sometimes.
It happens. And CD got it right. And, the guys on the television were beside themselves. And I got to say, the people on the live blog were just off the hook. They were like, oh, why is Chiller at safety? Like, and that's the other thing. The live blog, like, just I pop in.
It's
I comment.
Funny. It's
you know?
Funny though, because everybody gets all negative on negative plays and positive on. It's like the extremes.
But that's the thing.
It's nice.
So extreme.
I like it.
Like, no, I like it.
It's exciting. It's funny. I laugh at it.
What's
like,
great
I just
though
laugh.
Is I tend to get in there when I'm really pissed. That's when I really like,
I think
dive
I think
into the.
When
blog.
We're losing, I think we have the most people on there. Seriously.
Well, because it's an outlet. It's good. It's good. But so, you know, the Big Oki, I would say, now you look at Jackson's stats and you think it didn't work. But I would counter that with the number of negative plays they had and the number of stops for, you know, 1-2 yards. It was impressive. I thought they did a good job. And Jackson never got that big run. He had a 20-yarder, but he never got the run that just breaks your back. You know, that one that just goes forever. The one that Peterson seems to break off every week. You know, he never had that. Now, whether that will work next week, we'll talk about that in the next segment. But I've got to think the Oki was a success in the manner of which it stopped Jackson from like inflicting major harm, and it helped a number of times. It helped put the Rams in second and long, third and long.
Yeah.
Which is where you want to put them because they don't have any receivers, especially after Robinson went out, and they had the backup quarterback in.
Although the backup quarterback was looking good.
He looked better than Bulger. I will say that. Hey, and we had a B.J. Raji sighting. B.J. Raji was in the house, played 20 snaps or so. And
although, you know what? I get disappointed. If I don't see, like, a B.J. Raji bull rush, I get kind of sad.
Well, in his defense, the guy's been out for a long time.
I guess, but you saw him in the preseason.
You did, but that was before the injury, you know, and then he's been having to sit. He hasn't been able to work out on it.
I know, but I want one.
I hear you. I want a bull rush, too.
Dang it.
We'll see it. It'll happen. It was good. It was a good first test. Plus,
maybe it'll happen against Minnesota.
Plus, you're on the carpet.
What if B.J. Raji sacks Brett Favre?
That would be a fantastic passing of the torch.
That would be true life after Favre. That would be awesome.
Anybody sacking Brett Favre will be a golden moment.
But B.J. Raji, that would just be like... That would
perfect symmetry.
That would just be like a film.
A film version of life after Favre.
I would like that.
We need to pitch that. We need to talk to Steven Spielberg.
But if he sacks him, though, I want him to take him out of the game.
Yeah, like hurt him?
Because I really want to see Tavares Jackson.
Okay, we'll talk about
this. I just want to see Tavares Jackson. I don't want Brett Favre to get hurt. I just want to see Tavares Jackson.
Wait. You want to see Tavares Jackson, But you don't want Brett to get hurt.
No, I mean, I don't want
square
anybody
that
to
curve
get hurt
for me.
I don't want to say anybody should get hurt. That's not very nice.
But that's what you're intimating. Because you want, say it right now. Just tell the world you want Brett Favre to get hurt.
Everybody in this bar wants Brett Favre to get hurt in the game. Oh, that
guy
doesn't.
That guy doesn't.
I wish he was on the live.
That guy does.
Camera.
Yeah, Casey in the house. Casey wants Brett Favre hurt.
There's the bar right there.
There you go.
Say hi, guys. Say hi to the. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
All right. Who wants Brett Favre to get hurt Monday night?
Yeah.
No one's listening to you.
No one cares. All right.
They're like, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, exactly. I could have said, let's invade Russia. And everyone would have been like, yeah. So, hey, and last thing before we cut away to break.
Everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, it only took 2 years, but Desmond Bishop saw the field.
Yeah, that was exciting, actually.
He saw the field, and he made a tackle.
I was very excited about that.
We made a couple tackles.
I think Brian Caribou was excited about that. I think a lot of people were.
You know what my favorite part was?
I think everybody who watched the preseason and just watched Desmond Bishop blow everyone up.
Blow everybody up. What stinks, though, is that Desmond Bishop has been getting all this pub. Everyone's wanting him to come in. He just had this huge article in the Journal Sentinel about it. His first play in the game, Jackson rips this huge run off. So everyone's like, Desmond,
well,
what up?
Like I told Thaddeus, it is Steven Jackson.
Yeah, well, he's a great back. He's
Have you seen
back.
The commercial?
He's a great back.
Have you seen the commercial?
The Michael Mann commercial.
Yes.
It's a classic, of course.
Okay.
Of course, I could look like a great back if Michael Mann directed it.
I'm sorry, but he's a badass.
He is a badass. But so, Desmond Bishop finally got in the game, made some tackles. According to Nick Barnett, this was planned. I don't know. I'm not sure I buy that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I buy that.
Nick
from the
Barnett
samurai.
Will tell you he plans the samurai, but I don't believe that.
But wait, wait, wait. But speaking of the samurai,
okay, let's take a vote right here. Let's take a vote of who's in the audience. Okay, who would rather have the Packer shark or the samurai?
Samurai.
Samurai.
See. You see, with my contention, my contention was never about one versus the other.
All the votes are for the samurai.
And I would agree. But my contention was never about one over the other.
Yeah, but you like the Packer shark.
I love the Packer shark. Nothing wrong with the Packer shark. I love the Packer shark.
No, don't do it. I'm not putting
the Packer
on you
shark
right now.
Just don't.
I can't do it.
I'm not ready for prime time. But I love.
The handshake is nice.
Love the handshake. Although, you notice Charles didn't do it.
No.
Charles negated. But did you see somebody? I think it was either Jennings or Collins came over to shake his hand on the bench, and he said, "Ow, ooh, ah." Like he hurt his hand. So I don't know. Something to watch for on the injury report tomorrow. But Desmond Bishop, yeah, we love the Grave Digger.
Yeah, well,
we missed the Grave Digger.
Yeah, I mean,
the Grave Digger is a classic.
It's the Grave Digger.
It's the freaking Grave Digger. All right, when we come back, we're gonna look forward to the Monday night matchup against Brett Favre, the Minnesota Vikings, and Brad Childress.
And we're back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, for our final segment of our first ever live Kettle of Fish remote. Here we are.
Let's go to the bar cam.
Bar cam, but there's no one here. They're all out.
Well, Keith's out of the frame.
Keith's sitting out
there. He's waving. Right
everyone's
there.
Getting their book
Keith's
signed.
He's like, I'm still here.
Yeah, everyone's getting their book signed.
Everybody's getting
by the star of the night.
Thanks, Keith, for showing up. We really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Absolutely.
Keith, Thaddeus, KCNYC.
I'm shocked, actually.
I actually am too.
I can't believe people actually.
I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I think like two people are going to show up because I got one email and you know.
Jersey Al hasn't shown up.
No.
That's upsetting.
Jersey Al, where are you at?
Jersey Al.
What's going on, Jersey?
Why you leave us high and dry like that? That's not cool, man.
He's in Jersey. He can't.
He is Jersey.
He can't get into Manhattan.
I wouldn't hit the PATH train for this anyway. I'm with Al.
It's true, although.
Forget that.
Keith's got to take the Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah, what's up with that? That ferry's 10 times worse than the PATH
it's
train.
True.
Oh.
It's true.
So, Al, you're not off the hook anymore.
No, it's true.
So let's talk about this freaking game.
Let's talk about
it. Oh, my goodness. Brett Favre.
The bar got really quiet.
Well, they should because I'm pissed. Brett Favre is with the freaking Vikings. That's just, I can't even begin to describe, and I wrote about it on the blog today. I can't even begin to describe my anger at this situation. And my anger is not with Mr. Favre. Although, yes, I will be braying for his blood on Monday night. I hope Campman, you know, knocks him in the dirt or the turf, as it were. I hope Woodson takes his head off on a blindside blitz. But I don't hate
That'd be nice.
I don't hate Brett Favre. I just don't. I do hate A, the Minnesota Vikings, and B, I freaking loathe Brad Childress. I mean, I cannot express.
Oh yeah, Brad Childress. If we would have got him as a coach, that's
the thing.
Yikes.
This guy was like 10 days away from becoming our coach.
Woo.
The coach of the Green Bay freaking Packers.
Wow.
I mean,
I think Ted Thompson would be fired if Brad Childress was our coach.
Well, here's the thing. I'll forgive almost every one of his sins, except for not shaking Mike McCarthy's hand last year after the opening game. Are you serious? Mangini and Belichick shook hands after Spygate, all right? And you're not going to shake McCarthy's hand.
Oh, you mean when Bill Belichick was it was revealed that he was a cheater? Cheater?
What's interesting about that, too, is that that first came to the light of the league against the Packers.
Yes.
The year before at Lambeau. But the Packers dealt with it quietly, unlike Mangini, who thought he would blow up the whole world.
I would have.
So the point is, Mangini and Belichick shook hands after Spygate. Yeah, it was very quick and it was whatever. It was perfunctory, but they did it. You know, it's just good sportsmanship. It shows you have a modicum of class. Unlike Brad Childress, who has none.
No.
Zero.
Lovie Smith has more class than Brad Childress.
I like Lovie Smith. I respect Lovie
you
Smith.
You like Lovie Smith?
I respect the man. He's a good football coach.
Stop
he
talking.
Coaches the Bears, and I hate
Stop
the Bears.
Talking. Stop talking.
I like him more than I like Brad Childress.
You
How's
can't
that?
Like Lovie Smith. The man got his job and said his number one job was to beat the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, man, I like him for that. Come on. It helps the rivalry. It inflames. It burns the embers. Not like Brad Childress, who does everything sneakily behind his back because his hand-picked quarterback sucks.
That's true.
So he has to go call, text Brett, and be like, Brett, I need to save my job. Please come play quarterback for us. I mean, I got no respect for the guy. I hate him. He's beaten McCarthy one time, and that is on a last-second missed field goal. And then he has the temerity. To say, he has the audacity to say, it's always good to beat those people. Really? It's always good? You've done it one time, and it's always good?
Well, maybe he's dreamed about it a lot.
He has dreamt about it a lot. He needs to shut up. All
That's
right?
true. He does need to shut up.
Okay.
Although I will say, if his handpicked quarterback is on the field, that means...
That Brett Favre is down.
Yeah. And let's talk about the legend continuing, okay?
Yeah. You mean about last Sunday?
Last Sunday.
Miracle
because,
throw.
You know, the legend does continue.
Yes, it does.
You know,
was an amazing throw.
It's too bad the legend couldn't continue in the second coldest game on Lambeau Field.
Which you were at. And by the way, I was watching that on my iPod yesterday, and I thought of you.
You know, where was the legend then? I mean, he
where
can
was
show
the legend?
Up against San Francisco.
Thank you. I wrote on the blog today, you know, all he's got to do is complete a freaking pass. Can you just complete a pass, please? But no. You know, it's all great to be throwing miracle throws against the 49ers in week 3. Let's see what's happening in December at Soldier
hey,
Field.
Let's see what's happening in week 6, because we know what happened against the Jets.
That's right.
Or with the Jets.
With the Jets.
Excuse me.
It all goes downhill rather rapidly.
Every week that goes by, it goes downhill.
Yeah.
I know. He's on my fantasy team. He's my backup.
Oh, see, I wasn't going to go there. I thought of that on the train down here tonight. I thought, you know... I know Corey picked him in fantasy.
Well, he's going to play week 5.
He's backup quarterback
week
for Aaron
five,
Rodgers.
He's going to play. He's going to be amazing. And week 6 is going to suck.
And I will admit, there is some poetic justice in Favre backing up Rodgers, even if it is only in fantasy.
Yeah, that's why.
But I do like that poetic justice. But the fact that you did it when I went to the bathroom,
I was telling Thaddeus, who did you take? Wait, what did you do? You traded Jermichael Finley.
I traded Antonio Gates and Fred Jackson for Jermichael Finley, and I would do it again.
Yeah, and you'd be dumb.
In a keeper league. That's... I'm going to keep that cat. He's going to be fantastic. He's going to be eligible to be a developmental player.
Yeah, what
and
happened?
Next year, you watch.
What happened to the two tight end sets we were going to employ?
Well, we've had plenty of them, but our tackles can't block for crap. So we've had to keep the tight ends in to help, which kind of negates their offensive production.
That's true.
It's just upsetting. Don't get That's me true. Started.
So let's talk about Mason Crosby for a second.
Why?
Because he's terrible.
Yes. Well, he may not be terrible. He is average. And the man missed an extra point. So God help us.
How does that happen? Unless you're like going against Julius Peppers, how does that happen?
All right. God help us. If Monday night comes down to a Mason Crosby kick.
Yikes.
Because let me tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Astoria, where I live and we'll be watching the game, will be scorched earth if he misses. That's all I got to say.
What if he misses another extra point and the game comes down to 1 point?
Well, see, that's okay because then they could have made up for it later in the game and it's not his fault.
Got it.
But if he misses another game-winning kick at Minneapolis.
Even if it's a 53-yarder?
I don't care. It could be a 75-yarder. If McCarthy tells him to get out there and do it, that's what Coach told you to do. You go do it. Mason Crosby.
I don't
get me started on Mason freaking Crosby.
I don't think.
Oh, we like to preach. We have competition. We bring guys in. Competition will breed success. Competition will breed better players at every position. Oh, except for place kicker.
It's true.
What the heck kind of philosophy is that?
It's true. And although there's plenty of competition at fullback.
Yeah, there's lots of competition at fullback. Except that there's no competition because we won't activate a guy. I don't know. Don't get me see we done. We're going backwards. We're going back to the fullback thing. I don't want to talk about fullbacks and punters.
Let's talk about predictions here.
Predictions. I'm calling it. You go first. I'm not calling it.
I think that we're going to win, obviously.
I think it's Packers 78, Minnesota -3. That's it. I think that's blazingly obvious.
I would like 21-0.
It's not going to be 21-0. And here's the thing, okay, in all seriousness.
I would, though.
I would love 21-0. That's not going to happen. But
it might.
What I would love
if Al Harris takes Adrian Peterson out of the game like he did the
2 years ago.
Two years ago we played him.
I would love
it
that.
It could happen.
But here's the thing. Here's what I predict will actually happen. It will be another back and forth. It'll be another tight game. If you look at these teams, they have gone back and forth and been come down to a field goal to win it. More often than not over the last 10 years.
It's true.
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. These teams know each other way too well. And Favre, for all his magic and for whatever you want to call it, he's not the difference, all right? Adrian Peterson is the difference. Adrian Peterson is going to be the best player on the field, period, on Monday night. It's not a question. I love Aaron Rodgers, and I love Greg Jennings, and I love Donald Driver. But Adrian Peterson will be the best football player on the field on Monday night. The Packers have to stop him. Now, if that's Big Oki, if that's, you know, running goal line defense 90% of the time, I don't know. That's Dom Capers' job. But it will come down to how the Packers handle Peterson. And if they can put Brett in second and long, third and long, do some fun Dom Capers blitzing, then they have a chance. But if Peterson's running up and down the field, it's going to be a long night. But honestly, I think it will come right down to the end again. It won't be that relaxing. You know, you blew them out, you can relax kind of game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be nerve-wracking right up until the final gun. And I guess, you know, you probably wouldn't have it any other way because that's the way these games go. But yeah, other than that, Packers 78, Minnesota -3.
There you go.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
that's it for our show.
Our first remote in the books. Thanks to the gentlemen who have shown up here this evening.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I'm shocked. And thanks to everyone who's joined us online. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Holly for doing the other 31. Thanks to Brian, always working behind the scenes. Everyone on the live blog, thanks so much. Have a great night.